Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
My thanks to Chad Brown standing in for Mark Schlereth.
Chad Brown.
Every time, right?
Every time.
Funny every time.
Every time. Kicked off the show at 6 a.m. with it. I'm giggling as much at 7.
Got to start the 8 o'clock hour with it as well.
Never gets old. No, thank you so much for sitting in as Mark off for a couple days, taking care of some family business. As we hash out what went on over the weekend with the Broncos draft. Interesting, we just had Mike Kliss on, our 9 News Bronco insider. And I found it interesting, his take on the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay situation. Again, here's what he had to say.
There's two things on the Aaron Rodgers. One, what are the odds of him being traded by the Packers? And right now I would put that below 50-50. Mm. Just the Packers letting him go.
Yeah.
I the Packers aren't trading them. And now we'll see. I think this could go on all summer, and I think it could go into training camp and right to the regular season. I think that's very possible. But if he does become available, I do think the Broncos are, you know, one of the leaders in the clubhouse, if not the leader in the clubhouse, to get him.
That was Mike Kliss on. Do you think it's a situation where, okay, Aaron Rodgers seemingly has made it very clear he doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. Just how much hardball do you expect the Packers to play?
Well, the GM has already come out and said we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. There's no equivocation. He didn't, you know, dance around it. He didn't
relax.
Try to, you know, soften it. He was very clear with that. So,
well, the Texans GM said the same thing about Deshaun Watson, and nobody believed that.
Is he still a Texan?
Well, yes, but I think we all understand
there are other circumstances
involved.
Yes.
If those circumstances were in play, I'll ask you this. If those other circumstances were not in play, do you think Deshaun Watson's still a Texan?
No.
Okay, then.
But in this case, you got two sides who are going to dig their heels in. This is going to go on through the summer. So I think if Bronco fans want to keep their hope alive, I think you can. I don't think it's above 50%. As Mike said, I think it's below 50% that he leaves the Packers.
Oh, 50, huh?
Below 50. Because all Aaron Rodgers wants is to be respected. And when you're an all-time great quarterback and they draft a quarterback in the first round,
right,
you get your feelings hurt. It's ridiculous. I know. You make, what do you make in 2020? What was his?
A lot of money. Probably 35, 38.
$21 million was his cash in 2020. Plus the signing bonus and everything else. Anyway, a ton of money.
A ton of money.
Yes. So, yes, his feelings got hurt. It's how it works. Players, they're sensitive. And so Aaron's sensitive. And they do not manage that part of it well. As a business owner, you've got to manage the personalities. And it's always weird to me when these situations come up with these all-time great players that you don't manage. It doesn't. Russell Wilson does not need to be consulted on every personnel move. Would he like to be included? Of course he would. So for Pete Carroll in Seattle, or for the front office in Green Bay, you have these amazing quarterbacks. These guys are top five. As a top five quarterback, you're literally a top five player in the NFL. That automatically puts you there. And so they're the most important player on your team. Just play the game with them. I don't understand why there's this pushback and this ego thing. Just play the game with these guys. Hey, Russell, want to come in and look at some tape of receivers, give our guys your thoughts? That's all.
But if they failed to play the game with Aaron Rodgers to the point where they're past the point of fixing this thing, Aaron Rodgers sure seems to me like a guy, he's not doing this for money. It's clear that he was really, really bothered by them drafting Jordan Love and the fact that for over a decade now, they haven't really gone to great lengths to draft weapons for him. So it sure seems like he's steadfast in wanting out. To me, the issue just comes down to, are the Packers prepared to just dig in and say, well, if you're going to play, you're going to play for us only. And if you refuse to play for us, you're playing for nobody. Do you really think that's how they want to do business with a guy that's as revered as Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't think they want that. But I think they're prepared to try to get him to toe that line.
Really?
Yeah. At some point.
They're the ones that drafted Jordan Love.
Right.
This is, if this isn't, Houston just screwed up, okay? They're just run poorly. But it wasn't like they were actively trying to replace Deshaun Watson. They weren't cultivating his replacement.
No, they just were awful.
Just awful. They were just bad management.
Right.
But in this case, Green Bay did signal what their intention is that, hey, Aaron, we don't, think that you have that much football left in you, and we're drafting a guy that we're going to groom as your heir apparent, just like we did with you and Brett Favre. So if they're already sending the message that, they're already looking beyond Aaron Rodgers, then why would they be so steadfast in digging in and say, Aaron, you either play for us, you play for nobody?
This is the NFL, Mike. It's not the NBA. In the NBA, the players have the power. In the NFL, the teams and the owners have the power. And there's a distinct difference between the two. And so for guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers who somehow think, hey, I've got, I make $33.5 million average a year, that somehow shifts the power to you? This is the NFL, man. No, the owners, the teams, they run things. As powerful as a player as Aaron Rodgers is, as smart of a guy as he is, to not recognize it's your turn. They did this to Brett Favre with you, and now this is your turn. For me to see the Pittsburgh Steelers release Rod Woodson and think they weren't going to let me go in free agency? Come on. You got to read the tea leaves, man. Read the room. I knew I was going to be a free agent. They let Rod Woodson go. They had signs in Three River Stadium that said, Rod is God. They let God go? Chad Brown is certainly going to be let go.
Yeah, that's probably a good tip-off right there. All right, we'll get your thoughts on that. Ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Coming up, is this team, this is the great debate that rages around the Broncos. Is this team only a good quarterback, away from being a serious contender? Never mind a great quarterback. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Chad Brown in for Stink. Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30 as always. Want to hear from you on the RamosLive.com text line if you have a specific question for Chad. Question Chad coming up at 8 o'clock. 303-713-1043. Where are you at on the whole roster thing? That's another juicy debate that there seems to be two different camps. Is this a team that is built to win now? That if you got good, never mind great, good quarterback play, this is an automatic playoff team. And if you were able to get Aaron Rodgers, I had Cecil Lammy sitting in yesterday. Cecil believes you get Aaron Rodgers, this roster is good enough that you are better than the Chiefs in this division and you are a legitimate Super Bowl favorite. I'll take that as a no on the ladder.
Okay. Now we're post-free agency, we're post-draft. Just in this division, Not even talking about the rest of the NFL. This division. Did the Broncos make up any ground on the Chiefs? The biggest issue with the Chiefs, particularly late in the season, was their offensive line. What did they do? Address the heck out of their offensive line. They didn't slide back. They got better.
Okay.
Did the Broncos gain ground on the number two team in the NFL?
Well, you tell me. You're a defensive guy. I'm going to bend to your defensive expertise. Is this defense, with the additions of free agency and what they did in the draft, adding Patrick Surtain, is this now a defense that you feel can go toe-to-toe with this offense and really make life difficult for Mahomes and crew?
It has the potential. We'll see how Mike Purcell looks. He was a huge part of the run defense 2 years ago. Definitely missed this last year. I think the Chiefs have enough weapons in the run game and now in the pass game. They're just going to attack you where you're weak. They don't necessarily have to go out and just say Patrick Mahomes, throw the ball around 50 times. They are comfortable running the football as well. So for this defense, I think a lot of it hinges on the success of those guys up front and their ability to be run stuffers. Yes, if they're able to get teams in the third and long and Von Miller becomes Von Miller again and Bradley Chubb is just who he's been over the last couple of years, not even taking a step forward, with those guys in the secondary, they have the potential makings of a very, very good defense.
Okay.
They could slow the Chiefs down. But if you can't get in third and long because you can't stop the run, well, all those pieces don't really matter anymore. So, and the Chiefs certainly loaded up on the inside of their offensive line, and then they got the tackle from the Ravens. They have some good players on the inside. I'm going to imagine they're going to try to run the football, take advantage of those guys on the inside. So kind of a long-winded answer. I'm not sure if much ground has been made up, but I'm not sure if much ground has been lost either. I think the Chiefs got better at their weakest point. The Broncos got better at their weakest point.
Boy, it just seems to me that if you're just looking at the offense versus the defensive part of it, I feel like the gap is closed a little bit. I look at the Broncos defensively, and I see a better defense than they've had the last couple of years. And yes, you're right. Kansas City went out and they made a lot of moves. But I've got to still see how all those pieces fit together.
Well, we're talking about the same thing with the Broncos. They made all kind of moves. How those pieces fit together? The secondary is perhaps the most communication intensive.
But is the secondary that different? You've got Simmons is back, Kareem Jackson's back, Bryce Callahan is back. Yes, you did. Now you're looking at a different look with the corners. Yes, Von Miller is back. Bradley Chubb is back, a year removed from ACL. So there's a lot more on paper with the Broncos that's a proven commodity versus what you're looking at the Chiefs up front, which is basically a brand new O-line.
But all proven guys.
True.
All guys who have played well. And, you know, I think we can agree that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy certainly put their guys in position to be successful. But let's just keep it very specific to the Chiefs. All those guys you named on defense, who takes Travis Kelce? Who's a Travis Kelce shutdown guy? Does that guy exist on this defense? Who's a corner on the outside who can take away Tyreek Hill and the threat of that speed he has?
Well, I'll go at it a different way.
But I just want to be clear, just real quick. I'm not saying the Broncos didn't make up ground. I'm not saying they don't have the makings of a good defense.
Right.
But again, nothing in the NFL is in a vacuum. Your improvement, while that's great, is always going to be measured by everyone else around you, and particularly in your division. Did you get better? Sure. But they got better, too. So now you're in the same place.
But if you look back at the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce still got his. He had 10 catches for 133 yards. But they never let him really take over or really break open the game like he can. Same with Tyreek Hill. So,
well, you know, Patrick Mahomes was running for his life.
Well, okay, then is there
Is that the
blueprint? Do you see the potential for the Broncos up front to be able to put the kind of pressure that can get Mahomes out of that? I'm not saying you shut him down to the point where they're only scoring 9 points, but look, if the Broncos are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to have to be like a 23-20, 24-21 type game, right?
The Chiefs won a lot of games last year in those kind of scoring ranges because they started to run the ball a little bit more when they started having offensive line issues. Now, of course, in the Super Bowl, they got behind. They couldn't do that. Tampa Bay pinned their ears back and just crushed the pocket.
Look, Chad, I'm not so naive to think that the gap is closed to the point where now the Broncos are beating the Chiefs. Unless they get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the question was, okay, are they a quarterback away of being on the field going toe-to-toe, right?
Can you at least now feel like you can compete? Yeah, I do feel that way. Now, you're saying maybe I shouldn't, but I think they're at the point now where they can compete, which is the first step. Because they haven't even been competitive. I mean,
as they're currently constructed,
the average score is a 2-touchdown deficit.
What are we talking about with some other fictitious quarterback?
I'm talking about with, for right now, I'm going with the idea that it's going to be Locke or Bridgewater. Has the defense improved enough? And are there enough questions raised by what happened in the Super Bowl that you can at least look at and say the gap is closed? They're not beating the Chiefs yet, but at least the gap is closing.
I will give you, the gap is not as big as it once was.
Okay. We're still probably losing.
Hopefully not. They lost 11 straight. Somehow, somewhere along the line, you got to break the streak. You cannot go 6 years and not beat the Chiefs.
I'm not sure.
Well, talk to teams that had to play the Patriots for 2 decades. They know what it's like to go several years without beating, and that's what we have to avoid. You have to avoid that. You got to find a way to beat these guys. But the first step, short of getting Aaron Rodgers, is you have to be able to at least compete with them. Have they been able to do enough to be able to compete with them? Your thoughts, RamosLive.com. Text line 303-713-1043. 4 down territory. Ah, Jeff Driscoll, we hardly knew ye. That's next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is 4 down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No source fiesta.
Hurry, hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Broncos down to this. Driscoll under pressure and going down. From the far side of the field, Carol Edmonds got to him. And the ball will go over to the Steelers.
Ah, CBS there with a little unsolicited commentary there from Millennial Ben. Ah, the Jeff Driscoll era.
All 3 hours
of over before it began. I think it is the question that is most fair to ask. And it's not even with the benefit of hindsight, because we were asking it at the time it was made, was why? Why would you go with someone like that if the plan was to bring along a young quarterback like Drew Locke? Sorry to sound like stink here, but where was your veteran Josh McCown, middle of the June guy? Why?
Yeah, So many things about last year were so curious, and that's just one of them. It's just bad football, man. It's just bad football. Philosophy, management, how you piece it together, how you thought it was all going to work. It just, none of it made sense. And I think the whole Jeff Driscoll era speaks to how poorly the quarterback position was managed over the last 5 years.
Well, it's now a Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Brett Rippon room. That's your quarterback room as of right now. Next in 4 down territory.
Second down.
It's been a great partnership with Vic and the coaching staff, a collaboration all the way. I mean, we would sit in rooms for hours discussing players, how they fit, Vic's vision, the coach's vision. So, and that's what it's all about. When you're in my shoes, when you're with the scouts, you know, you just want to be able to discuss and collaborate. And it's really been smooth since the moment I walked in the door.
And that continues a familiar refrain from George Payton. Very complimentary of Vic Fangio. Certainly went out and made a lot of moves that for this year should give Vic Fangio every opportunity to do a lot of good things with this defense. Chad, should we buy into the popular opinion that's held out there that Vic Fangio starts the season on the hot seat? That he starts the season as a lame duck coach?
I don't think he's a lame duck coach, but I think he has to be on the hot seat. But I think George Payton is doing everything he can to change the culture and the outlook of the team, not just within the team, but for us here in the media and fans locally. For the last couple of years, Vic Fangio has been the spokesperson for this team. He's been replaced by George Payton. Because Vic Fangio would come out and say stuff about Von Miller, his best player, and how he's got to play better. And, you know, it's like, that's what you're saying about your best player, what are you saying about these other guys? And it created a bit of a dark cloud around things. I think George Payton rightly has assessed the situation that we've got to try to build some confidence and some optimism into our language here. And Vic Fangio is not that guy. George Payton has decided he's the guy. And so whether he's talking about Vic Fangio or Drew Locke or, heck, Teddy Bridgewater, he's got nothing but great things to say and how awesome it's going to be and how we're all moving in the same direction. It's going to be fantastic.
Go 2-6 to start the season?
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Then we see what happens. Did you get the sense that draft moves, and I'm specifically talking about the quarterbacks here, do you think quarterback moves in this case were not made because it didn't fit with what Pat Shurmur likes to do?
I hope not.
Boy, I hope not either.
I hope that's not.
I didn't get that.
I get just a scout looking at risk reward,
right,
and going with the higher ratio of reward over risk.
Okay. And I hope it was that, too, because as much as I am glad they didn't pick a quarterback, if they chose not to pick a quarterback, Justin Fields, because he did, you know, if it was a case where George Payton's like, well, you know, there's a lot I like about Justin Fields, but I just don't think he fit with Pat Shurmur. Oh,
that'd be bad.
That would be bad. That'd be really bad, and you don't think that was the case.
No.
Good. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
We know Julian didn't retire. He's just too scared to tell Bill he wanted to come to Tampa.
Guys, is Julian froze or is his hair stuck like
that? I'm in there.
So Tom Brady, as part of the NFL's 2021 draft-a-thon, cracked a joke. We know Julian Edelman didn't retire. Let's be honest, he's just too scared to tell Bill he wants to come to Tampa. I've been there. Now, Edelman kind of debunked that as well. He says, I ain't going anywhere, bubs. # Foxborough forever.
I love Tom Brady.
Well, Gronk retired and then came back. And what about Edelman?
Edelman's done because of his knee. If he could still play, he would still be playing. For Gronk, you know, he was beat up, but needed some time just kind of mentally recover and be Gronk again and get his light going. Edelman's he's wired differently than Gronk is. It's not about the freedom to be Gronk. It's about my knee just simply will no longer let me do this. So I wouldn't rule it out completely. If there's some injury run at receivers in Tampa, could Tom get, you know, Julian to come out and do it if his knee's up to it and 6 months of rest has made him feel more comfortable? It's possible. But I think Julian Edelman most likely has played his last down of football.
You see Brady's outfit at the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah.
That was a big hat.
He's going for an evil genius kind of look.
That was kind of like, the man with the yellow hat, Curious George size hat. Yeah, he did. He kind of looked like a... He looked like a villain in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder.
Aaron Rodgers. What was Aaron Rodgers' outfit about?
Well, Rodgers, I don't know. But, you know, with Brady, sometimes I'm wondering, like, wow, your wife is a world-famous supermodel. I would expect a little bit better in the taste department.
His fashion taste just tend to cross the line a little bit. He could pull it back 10%.
Yeah.
It would still work.
Yeah.
The hat was cool. Just a little smaller,
yeah,
and it would work.
Yeah, the hat would have worked, but just, and I get it, it's a Kentucky Derby, it's all about the hats, but that hat just was, I don't know.
No, not for me either.
Yeah, Google it. Check it out. Next in the four down territory.
Fourth down.
Pressure's coming. Lock taking a deep shot. Wide open is Hamler. And it's a touchdown.
Well, check this out. Amazon's Thursday night football deal was supposed to start in 2023. Now it's going to take over in 2022, which means if you want to watch Thursday night football, you're going to have to pay for it, stream it. Chad, could you see the day where watching the NFL will cost everybody, will cost you? You will have to pay to watch the NFL. Do you think that day will come?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been here. NFL's been on ESPN. ESPN is not a free network.
True.
It's ubiquitous, so we think of it as free.
Right.
But it's not. It hasn't. It's never been free. You got to pay for it in your package.
CBS.
Okay.
NBC.
But I mean, NFL Network's still not free, and they televise Thursday night games.
There's still a lot of free football.
Yes, there is. And to get, if you buy Prime, you'll get the NFL package with Amazon. They're just trying to boost their Prime numbers. It's business. The NFL is always going to pursue avenues to make money, and selling to a partner who can then charge for the product allows them to make more money. The NFL is a money printing machine. I'm not surprised by this at all, nor do the viewership numbers make the NFL think we've got to give our product away for free.
Right.
Numbers keep going up. They can charge more for it is what they're thinking. How do we get more for these packages?
Well, whatever it takes.
I'm tuning in.
I'll be paying
you
it.
You got my money.
Yeah, you got it.
It is the greatest reality TV product ever conceived. Ever. Why would the gravy train stop anytime
There's
soon?
There's no end to the golden goose pumping out those golden eggs.
You know, I always go back to what Mark Cuban said about the NFL and, you know, fat pigs get slaughtered and all that. It ain't happened yet, Mark.
I don't. There was a time there with the whole concussion thing where it looked like there may be a little bit of a, you know, a crack in the foundation, but that seems to have gone away.
Yeah. Tell me an owner who's admitted the NFL has a concussion problem. Not one. There's no cracks.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up, we're going to talk to our Rockies insider, Patrick Saunders, as it is close to being upon us. The return to St. Louis and Nolan Arenado. But first, can we get some baseball in with the Giants? We'll talk to Patrick Saunders coming up next. Patrick Saunders is our Rockies insider, of course, with the Denver Post. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. And, Patrick, I got to ask you right off. We'll get through these games with San Francisco here at home, but then it's on to St. Louis. And I'm wondering, in talking with some of the players, how do they feel about the prospects of going up and seeing Nolan?
Well, truthfully, Mike, I have not had a chance to talk to many of them about that yet, you know, with no clubhouse access, et cetera. We haven't had much opportunity. I think we're due to talk to Charlie Blackman today about that, or to Charlie, and I'll ask him about that. I imagine they're going to play pretty close to the vest. You know, oh, we wish the best for Nolan, and we've moved on, and he's moved on, but he was always a great teammate, et cetera. But I am curious to see what it's going to be like for them to play Nolan in St. Louis beginning Friday. I'm trying to get Nolan to talk to him myself. Unfortunately, he, through all the turmoil, changed his cell number, and I no longer have it. But I'm efforting, as they say, to see if I can hook up with Nolan, because I'm curious to see what he thinks. It's got to be strange for him, I would imagine.
What's it like? It's been like for you guys, because as a baseball fan, the beauty of being a baseball fan is that if you want to know about your team and your favorite players, my goodness, the media access to baseball before games, after games. I mean, there's so much of it compared to other sports. How much of an adjustment has it been for you to have that spigot really closed off like it has been the last year?
Oh, it sucks. No question. Right. I mean, you know, I covered the NFL for a number of years, the Broncos, and And back then, access to the NFL was actually pretty good. You could go to off season and watch them do their, OTAs. I don't even think they were called OTAs back then. And it was really good. You know, I remember going up to Greeley when the Broncos had training camp up there, and we lived up on campus in Greeley, and you'd dine in the same dorm center as the players, and you'd sit down on the couch and sat with them. And now there's so many walls put up in the NFL. So when I was switched beats and went to the Rockies, one of the things I loved the most was that accessibility, the ability to get to know guys, to talk to them off the record, to really get a sense of the team. I think that's one of the really cool things about being a baseball writer, even though the grind of the beat can wear you down pretty fast. But, with COVID, we just haven't had that. So it's been a big adjustment for sure.
Patrick, unfortunately, whenever I'm filling in and we get a chance to talk to you, things tend not to be going well for the Rockies. And so often, my question is often the same. And so it's going to be the same again this time. Rockies have the worst record in the NL, the second worst record in all of baseball. Give me, as a casual Rockies fan, any kind of reason for optimism why somehow this year will be different or this, something's going to be better this year.
Well, I really can't.
I love the honesty. It's so good. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it is not a good baseball team. And I know the Rockies, and they, they say what they believe, and they will tell you they have not played up their capabilities, and they'll tell you that, all these close losses just means they're really close to being in these games. I just don't see that. The optimism for this year as a team as a whole, I just don't see them turning the corner. They'll have some nice runs here and there, but, I don't think they're going to lose 100 games, but they're going to lose 90-something games, I think. But I guess if you want to look for optimism, and if you're a true baseball fan, not a casual baseball fan, a true baseball fan, I guess what you look for is the individual performances. Romel Tapia is off to a really good start. He's been fun to watch. For the most part, John Gray as a starting pitcher has been really good. Trevor Story is fun to watch, but he may be gone soon. So I'm not going to try to paint a purple colored glasses scenario for you, Chad, because truthfully, this team is just not very good.
Bill Schmidt, the longtime scouting director, has been named as the interim general manager. Tell me a little bit about him. Will he be able to put any of his own stamp on this team for the remainder of the year? Or is he just kind of maintaining the status quo?
I don't think first of all, he's a really good man. He's a good person. He's been with the organization for, 25-plus years. He's very well respected around the game. He knows baseball. Sure, he's had hits and misses as the head of scouting, but that's true of a lot of baseball scouts. But as far as putting his stamp on anything, he is an interim GM. I think he's just going to try to keep the ship afloat, try to do the day-to-day things that a GM does. But he's charged with a lot, guys. Interim usually just means, basically he's a lame duck. He's in limbo. However, he's got a lot of important decisions he's going to have to steer. And that would include, are the Rockies going to trade Trevor Story, John Gray, Michael Givens? What's he going to try to get for them? All of those kind of things are going to fall on his plate. And that's why I was a little surprised that he was named the interim GM. Not that he doesn't have capabilities, but I was thinking a guy like John Weil is one of the assistant GMs might get the call. I think he knows a little bit more about the current landscape on other teams. In other words, he might have a better feel for prospects out there that the Rockies might want to attain. But I don't think he's going to, you know, he's certainly not going to make a big change in how things are run. I think the bigger question is Greg Fiesel, who is now the president of the team, how much power is he going to have in terms of baseball? Is Greg Fiesel, who used to be, you know, business ops guy, is he really going to take over the whole baseball operation? Or when the Rockies finally do hire a permanent GM, as they say they will, is Fiesel going to have a lot of power over them? Or is that new GM going to have some autonomy to create the baseball team he wants to create? That, to me, is the overriding question right now with this team.
Patrick Saunders with the Denver Post. Follow him on Twitter at P. Saunders, DP. Patrick, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Patrick Saunders, he is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Speaking of baseball, chance right now for you to get qualified to win MLB The Show 21. Out now on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. Fun for hardcore or casual baseball fans. You can play all 162 games. Just drop in for the biggest moments of the postseason. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. We're giving away a free copy for PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do to enter to register to win is sign up for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news, columns, game recaps, and more. Sign up now at denverfan.com. You should have it anyway, but even more incentive, your chance to also get MLB The Show 21. Sign up at denverfan.com. We'll get to question Chad here in just a little bit. Some good reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line. Here's one. George Payton did the right thing by not drafting Fields. It's the system at Ohio State. It made Haskins look good, made Cardale Jones look good. Heck, even made Tebow a Heisman Trophy winner. If you don't mold the offense like Baltimore did for their RPO quarterback, then it's a wasted pick. Justin Fields simply a byproduct of what they do at Ohio State. And like other Ohio State quarterbacks that have come before him, he's destined to follow the same path, which has not been good for Ohio State quarterbacks.
Dwayne Haskins' issue wasn't the physical skills. He's immature. That was his issue. That's not an Ohio State thing. That's a guy thing. Justin Fields has been in the spotlight since he was a junior in high school. One of the most highly recruited players in the country. Did that whole Elite 11 thing. Showed up well in that. Did great in his 2 years at Ohio State as a starter. Played some of his best football in some of the biggest moments. So I get why fans are excited about Justin Fields. I'm not quite seeing why he was bypassed by so many teams when there aren't 32 starting level quarterbacks in the NFL. What did they see that I'm not seeing?
Well, it's a great point you bring up, because if you think back to around, you know, October, November, what was the widely held belief? There were two quarterbacks in this draft. It's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. They were 1-2 to the point where Fields had gained enough momentum that, and with the Urban Meyer landing in Jacksonville, the idea that, hey, maybe Justin Fields goes one. So what happened? What's the whispering in the NFL that leads to the Jets going with Zach Wilson over Justin Fields? The 49ers going with Trey Lance over Justin Fields? The Miami Dolphins deciding, hey, we're good with Tua, who really didn't blow anybody away last year, better than Justin Fields. Who else? Carolina deciding that Sam Darnold's better than Justin Fields. And the Broncos deciding that their situation is better than Justin Fields. And I wonder, yeah, how much further would Justin Fields have dropped if Chicago had not moved up to 11? Let's say he drops to 15 and New England's on the board at 15 and they got both Fields and Mac Jones on the board. Do they take Fields over Jones?
Absolutely.
Do they take Jones?
That's such a good question.
And if New England takes Jones over Fields, where does Fields go?
I don't know.
Mike, I'm really glad you asked that.
Oh, Bill, I'm here for you.
It just,
so what's
there's a little bit of a loopy delivery, and you know we saw the controversy with Dan Orlowski saying Justin Fields can't go to, you know, his second and third progression. He doesn't read the field well. And, of course, then literally that same day, then Twitter is lit up by all the other quarterback experts. Well, here's Justin Fields doing that thing you said he can't do. So as a casual fan who hasn't watched all of Justin Fields' tapes and studied and dissected him as a quarterback, I can't really tell you where the issue lies. Definitely a slower delivery, definitely a loopy arm motion. But is that enough to put all these question marks on a guy who going into the season, as you point out, seemed to be the number two pick in the draft? And somehow he gets bypassed by a guy who's, let's face it, BYU didn't play anybody last year. Zach Wilson lit it up against, you know, the Sisters of the Poor. So I don't have a complete and strong answer for you, Mike, just, you know, the little bit that I've seen. And in the end, I don't know. And as obviously, time will tell.
Yes, it will.
Yes.
Yes, it will. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.